you never who you never know who you're going to bump into when we're out at stuff like this. Yeah. But it is Alan Trammell, kind enough to join us this morning, Tiger legend. Good morning.
Well, good morning, and you're right. You never know who you're going to run into. But, no, it's a great event. Happy to be here, and hopefully I'll contribute a couple of shots. I know they're always expecting, you know, the athlete's supposed to be the ringer, but yeah, I'm okay, but not to, to some of these guys are ringers.
Yeah, do you practice at all before you come to an event like this, well, to just to fine-tune the game?
I have been. I live in San Diego, so I have the ability, obviously, to play some golf when I'm home. But last week was Kirk Gibson's outing, so yeah. I was able to, you know, play that round. Then I was telling you, John, that we went up north for a couple of days. So I've played a couple times. Hopefully it helps.
This is the Ilitch Companies Foundation Celebrity Golf Classic. 17th year they've been doing this. And we normally get some people on from the Tigers and the Red Wings. And let's talk Tiger baseball here. This team's in first place. What's the story of the year to you?
Well, they're in first place. And if I'm not mistaken, they've got the biggest lead in baseball. And I know there's always going to be doubters. And I don't think there's a big red machine out there. I don't think there's a 27 Yankee. And so there's going to be the debate, you know, do we have enough? Remains to be seen. But I do believe we're going to make the playoffs. And whoever gets in the dance has a chance. So I'm sticking to that. But I know there's questions. And as there should be every year.
When you watch this team play, what's the thing that you look at and say, this is the best thing that they do?
Well, they're gritty. They're tough. And that comes from their skipper. And I kind of go back to our tenure with Sparky. And then of late, you know, a few years ago with Jim Leland. Very similar in regards. They just have that feel. The good coaches, the good managers, they know their personnel. And I think that, as listening to you earlier, John, about, I think you're right in regards to AJ still kind of getting a feel for his guys.
Yeah.
And he is. There's no doubt about it. And we still have a few more weeks. You know, I know last month, including myself, I was a little like, whoa, you know, you lose 12 out of 13 in any sport. Wow, you start to wonder. But we've turned it around. I'm proud of these guys, but they're gritty. They play hard for 9 innings.
Have you shared, or are you able to share, any of your lessons from that 84 season with this team?
Absolutely, and it's not just this year or this month or last week or last month. This is going over, I just used the Torque and the Riley Green and Dingler, who I've known them for a few years, and I've seen them from day one. And some of the things, some of my sayings, some of my cliche little things, They understand it now, and that happens with experience and some game reps. Obviously, those are our big boys on our team, but the other guys are starting to kind of learn it themselves. Again, baseball 162, the marathon season, it's the old, everybody's heard it many, many times, but that's what you have to do. And they believe in themselves, and regardless of what people think, these kids believe in themselves, and that goes back to about a year ago. A little over a year ago when that run started last year when nobody expected it. They made the playoffs. They bumped off the Houston. They didn't win the World Series. And ultimately, at the end of the year, there's only going to be one champion.
You mentioned Riley Green. Mm-hmm. You've worked with him quite a bit.
Talk to him.
Okay. Talk to him quite a bit. I want to ask you about his swing then, okay?
Yes.
Because it's that uppercut swing,
yes,
and he strikes out a lot. But look, it's a couple homers over the weekend.
Yep.
How concerning are the strikeouts for him?
Well, I mean, you're talking about an old school guy.
Right.
And,
yeah,
you know, 100 strikeouts used to be. But again, this is, man, my era is over. And this is a different generation. It's a different style. I love Riley Green. And I know we're talking about the hitting and the strikeouts. And it's high. It's like the Dow Jones. It's the up and down. And is it too many for me? Yeah, probably a tick too many. But the fact is that he brings it. This kid is gritty. And let's talk about his defense. I mean, he's a well-rounded baseball player. I know offense, they want to think about it. That's the sexy part. But he's one of our guys, and I believe in him, and we count on him. But we're going to see. But this guy's in the middle of our lineup. We need Riley Green to be good, no question about it.
How valuable is the experience that they had last year? You mentioned the run that they went on. That was great, but to be able to win a series against Houston, and we know what happened against the Guardians, how valuable is that as they approach this postseason?
Well, I think it's very valuable. I mean, you've been in the trenches before, and sometimes, you know, our minds, we're humans, even though, you know, people don't think that way, we're human beings. You take a step back, and you think back to those times that they went through, And the more you do it, I think it's only more helpful. But this goes back to the staff. This is a well-prepared team. And regardless of what people think, do we have enough? Again, remains to be seen. But the fact is that they're well-prepared, and that starts with AJ.
Talking to Alan Trammell, talking about this Tiger baseball team, who's their number two starter if the playoffs start today?
Well, I don't know. I think we still have a few weeks. I know that not John Flaherty. That was the old catcher. Jack Flaherty. I messed up twice already. But Jack Flaherty has the capabilities. Again, people are going to say, hey, 7-13, he got roughed up yesterday. I get it, and you're right. But he does have some experience. And I think that what the staff is going to do is they're going to wait till the end and to see who's pitching better. If it was today, I think it's between, Charlie and Jack. And Casey, just because of the lack of experience, I think that would be it. But again, I'm not in those discussions. Those are just my opinions.
When we're talking about guys like Dingler and Riley Green, Torque, and all those guys, how much different is it to hit in September and certainly October than it is the rest of the season?
Well, you try to keep it somewhat normal.
Yeah.
We know that's impossible. We know that the stakes and more people are watching. But really, as an athlete, again, you have to kind of block that stuff out and say it's just another game, even though it's not. But that's the mindset.
Yeah.
And I think the experience, again, that 1 year of helping. I know we talked about Riley and Torque a little bit, and he's had a heck of a year as well. But Dylan Dingler has really had an excellent year. And plus, he's the catcher.
Yeah.
The number one. I used to think shortstops, obviously pitch, but the position player, catching is the number one, and he's done a fantastic job.
Have you talked to Lance at all about Dingler and what's his take on what he's watching when he sees Dylan Dingler?
He loves him too, guys. Lance was part of Gibby's golf tournament, and we had a chance, and obviously he's a catcher. He's a stud. He thinks Dylan is a stud, and I would certainly agree. I think most fans would agree as well that he has come so far, and he's one of our guys. There's no question that. I'm gonna go out on the limb and say within the next year or so he's gonna be hitting more in the middle of the lineup.
Yeah.
That's how good he is. But catcher first. That's what Lance. We were taught. That's the era. Defense first. And then the offense. I know people don't want to hear that, but that's just kind of the mindset that you got to do that first.
Yeah.
First and foremost is defense.
Tarek Skubal, let's talk about him for a second here. He's making a case to be the MVP this season.
Yep.
Would you make that case?
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, to have a horse, a number one, a true number one, like JV, Justin Verlander was, or Scherzer. But, again, we had two aces then. But let's just talk about Ver and what he brought to the table. So the other team knows that as well. When they're going in on that particular day, knowing that they're going against Tarek Skubal, they know they've got their hands full. And that's just a bonus to have, knowing that the little mind game, the mental part, that we've got one up on the other team, and that's nice to have. And if I'm not mistaken, I know they're on the West Coast, but he's pitching tonight.
So he is.
We're expecting another W.
The division. We've talked about it a lot. 10.5 game lead right now. How hard is it to switch that focus of still trying to make sure you win the division, but solidifying one of those top two seats so you don't have to play in that first round?
Well, again, that's from the fans' point of view, and I'm a fan. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want them to get one of the top records so they can have that bye. And I know that they're trying to juggle the playoff system so that the teams that win don't sit that long. But it would be nice. And, again, I know that's what they're striving for. But AJ's not going to let them get them off task, which is, again, you guys have heard it, one game at a time, one series at a time. Again, going back to the old cliche, but that's how you do it, man, and that's what he's done. He's done a tremendous job of changing the culture, but the culture is that just staying on task, and they're doing that. And I'm proud of these guys, regardless of what – people think, are we going to win the World Series? I hope so. That's what I hope.
Well, I wanted to ask you
that. They got a chance.
As a fan, not as a guy making those decisions, how do they stack up, right? Because we know great position.
Well,
if you can set Tarek Skubal up in a rotation in an ALDS, it puts you in a spot to get to the ALCS. But in terms of the teams they'll play, down the stretch here, whether it's a Toronto or a Seattle who both beat them in the second half here, or a Dodgers and a Phillies, these teams with big payrolls and big additions, how do they stack
it's
up?
It's certainly a very good question, a valid question. It's going to be talked about for quite a while now, over a month. But I want to throw it – how do you think the people in Milwaukee – I mean, they got the best record in baseball. Does that guarantee that they're going to win it?
Nope.
No, it doesn't. So the point is, as I mentioned earlier, about you get into the dance, you have a chance. I stand by that. So, again, there's going to be speculation. Again, I don't think there's a fan base that's like, well, even the Dodgers, the mighty Dodgers. There's no guarantees about them either. So we'll see. But I like our guys. I like the way we get after it. I know that we'll be prepared. We need to – first of all, clinch, but I do believe that will happen.
I know championship rings have changed over the years. Your 84,
the paperweight.
Yeah. There are more trophies now than they are actual rings. Yeah. But what does the event have to be for you to break out the 84 World Series ring?
Well, you know what? People have asked me this. I wore it very proudly. I still do. But I was nicking it, so I put it in a safety deposit box. So, obviously, if we get to the World Series – maybe in the playoffs. I haven't even thought that far ahead, John. But if we get into the playoffs, I think I should put it on even for the playoffs. But, again, it's something that, unfortunately, we won one.
Yeah.
But after that year we had, we thought we were going to win multiple ones. But it just goes to show you how difficult
how hard it is.
Absolutely.
Yes. He's Alan Trammell, World Series champ, World Series MVP. Kind enough to give us a few minutes today. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
97.1.
Hey, in sports, when you're sidelined by an injury, it's personal. The same goes for life. That's where personal injury attorney David Fendimenio steps in. And after an accident, you're going to need an attorney who makes it personal. That someone is David Fendimenio. His slogan is Get David, Get Paid. It's not just a slogan to him. It's his promise to take care of you. So if you or somebody you know has been injured, tell him to call David Fendimenio at 855-65-CRASH, or you can go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Tigers took 2 of 3 over the weekend, beat the Royals. They're up 10.5 games in the American League Central today, and we've shifted the conversation a little more towards, all right, making that push, setting your rotation, what kind of damage can you do at the end of the season? We're out live today. Sun's out. Beautiful day.
It is.
17th annual Ilitch Companies Foundation Celebrity Golf Classic. And you're seeing the celebrities walk by. We're going to have Alex DeBrinket at 9:35 later today.
Look at the celebrity walking down the red carpet right
JP,
now.
Jimmy Powers.
I know. It's unbelievable.
A lot of autographs for him on the way in.
No pictures. There's a charge for those.
But we've seen, I saw Dylan Larkin a little earlier. Chris Illich was walking by.
Kurt Gibson.
Yeah, we had Alan Trammell on. It's a who's who event today.
Yeah, and I loved, Tram's take on, things do tighten up a little bit here late August, September, October, and trying to focus on it is just one game. It's one of 162, and there's nobody better than A.J. Hinch to refocus these guys to be able to make sure that that is the priority. Hey, just take care of today. Don't worry about what's happening in the playoffs. You've done all the hard work. You've got yourself a 10.5 game lead in the division. You've done the hard work because you still have the best record in the American League. Now just go out there and continue to do what you're doing.
Again, if you can get that first round bye, you can throw Scooble twice in a 5-game series. Mm-hmm. You should get to the ALCS. You get to the ALCS. Look, I don't like the fact that we don't know who the number two is. I don't like that you're going to have to do a lot of mixing and matching. But if I'm going to do it, I want it to be A.J. Hinch that's doing the mixing and matching. They'll have a shot. I don't think they're the favorite, but I think they're going to have a shot.
Yeah, hey, you got to be in it.
Yep.
And I think they have a great chance to be in it in that ALCS, and then it's a matter of are they playing the level that we saw, not yesterday, but in the previous 5 or 6 games, where they were putting up runs, they were hitting, bat the ball was there, and even Javi Baez drew a walk, which seemed to be amazing. It was the first time in 2 months he had drawn a walk.
And a celestial event.
There was celebration on the radio. It was 2 months to the day that from when he draw his last walk. But the fact that the bats are starting to heat up at the right time. Now it's the right time right now. It as long as it creates confidence to get through the rest of these 30 games and into the postseason, then
Real quick, before Heather's news, We're going to get some news later today. Bryce Underwood expected to be announced as Michigan's starting quarterback. I know you'll be in Ann Arbor a little later today, but what do you make of the inevitable?
I'll show you my shock face. No one is shocked. And it's going to be interesting when the season starts. And obviously not compelling watching New Mexico, but then it gets really interesting when they travel to Norman, Oklahoma. What are the things, and he brings an amazing skill set to the quarterback position. We saw it in high school, but playing in big-time college football is a lot different than high school. How much of that work that he's done this offseason will pay off? How comfortable is he operating this offense? You're going to need leadership from that position. How comfortable will he be to, you know, show some of that leadership being a freshman out there? All of those things will be answered, but we won't know it until we get out there.
Three of the first six games are some notable road trips. One, Oklahoma in week two at night. They're going to face Nebraska week four on the road. That's another team that's got playoff aspirations. And then USC is the sixth game of the season. Cross country, flight out west. You're going to find out real quick, and I think he's going to go through predictable growing pains. There are going to be moments where you go, how did he not see that linebacker? How did he make that mistake? But it's better for Michigan to get him into this now. I've said this. I said it on Cash Ticket. I think they're a year away. Next year, they could be that Florida, South Carolina, led by a superstar quarterback that's knocking on the door looking to make some noise. But you got to start that process now, and they start it with Bryce Underwood.
And it's going to really come down to the development of Chip Lindsey or his coaching. And do you see the same mistakes repeatedly? Or when he makes a mistake, because they're going to happen, is Chip Lindsey able to coach him up and say, hey, this is why this happened. Here's what you got to have your eyes on. Here's what you got to be doing. Here are your keys. So that if he makes a mistake like that in New Mexico, it doesn't happen against Oklahoma or it doesn't happen against USC or Nebraska.
Tech says it's hard to take any of you seriously with Lionel Richie playing in the background.
Yes, we Doug and Gator have the obstacles of blowers and lawn machines when they're down at Comerica Park, and we have smooth tunes.
Oh, he's killing it!
Only
though.
Steps away from a live broadcast.
Well, we'll try to put that a little more in the background with Heather's news. Let's go.
He is really good.
He is.
He's doing a great job. So Boomer Esiason is one of the most decorated quarterbacks in Cincinnati Bengals history, right? And when the franchise created this Ring of Honor in 2021, they made him one of the early inductees. That was in 2023. Well, this year he's been invited by the Bengals to their Ring of Honor ceremony on October 26th. And that's when the Bengals host the Jets. Anyway, well, that seems like, well, that's an honor in itself, right? Come on back. We're doing this big ceremony. He's got some issues with his invitation, which he discussed on his radio show, Boomer and Geo.
John?
They're exactly right. Like, I get those emails from the Commanders, and it's, hey, if you want to come back for, you know, a homecoming, quote-unquote, weekend, or you want to come back to a game, they offer you the opportunity to buy tickets.
Oh.
If your name is in the Ring of Honor, whenever they ask you to come back, this is a billion-dollar corporation.
Right.
They should provide flight for you and your family, and you should be sitting in the owner's box along with ownership, or they should get you a different one that you're allowed to sit in. And it just it baffles me that these things continue to happen. I'm hoping it was an oversight. He's a part of a database that got a mass email, but there should be another one that comes along with it that says, here are the accommodations for you.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
With that as well. Yeah. Robert Porcher, the Detroit Lions all-time sack leader, will be joining the Pride of the Lions, which is really cool, during halftime of the Lions opener against the Bears on September 14th. So he was actually surprised by this honor when he was at one of the joint practices last week. And told the big news. He says it's a great honor.
Awesome.
I mean, it really is. And Rod Wood says that this they're thrilled to cement Robert Porcher's legacy as one of the all-time Lions greats.
And he is. And he's not just one of the all-time greats on the field. He's one of the all-time greats off the field. What he's done in the community, what he continues to do in the community. He was a tremendous player. I had the displeasure of playing against him in my rookie season twice, actually. We played in the playoffs, and he got me a fine. So every time I see him, I'm like, dude, you still owe me.
Uh-huh.
And he still looks like he could play, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he still looks like he's in great shape. He's done a great job of taking care of himself. And
so if Za'Darius doesn't want to do it, maybe
maybe he could be the edge opposite Hutch.
So younger Americans are rethinking how they go out, and they're trying to make sobriety social. So Gen Z is called the Sober Curious Generation, if you didn't know, because I wasn't aware of that. But between 2011 and 2023, the number of adults aged 18 to 24 who drank alcohol dropped by 8 percentage points. And also consumption among 25 to 34-year-olds has also fallen about 5 percentage points over the past decade. So that makes, you know, young adults really the driving force behind America's diminishing alcohol consumption. But that doesn't mean that young adults aren't going out. They're still going out and going to social events, but
they just get a chance to remember them.
Different memories, yes, for sure. Maybe memories in general. But their bars and liquor stores are now creating more mocktails, zero proof alcohol, things like that. Or they're going to like these DJ'd events that only offer coffee. Things like that, not alcohol at all.
Well, they're getting after it, aren't they?
They sure are.
These rowdy kids.
Yes, yeah.
Crazy kids.
A bunch of old duels.
Yeah.
I mean, good news for you as a parent
yes,
of a
yeah,
young
that
adult,
my kids will not be drinking.
Well, or maybe less. Maybe yes. less than...
Yes.
And others didn't
or
pass.
The pressures won't be there.
Yeah. So everyone knows the importance of a good night's sleep, right? We all know that, but not everyone is getting one. And experts say that sleep difficulties can stem from a wide variety of issues, ranging from life stage to personal stressors to environmental barriers like a warm temperature or noisy bedroom. I mean, it's kind of all things. It's funny, this article, the headline was like, should you wear underwear while you sleep? And it's like, oh, gosh, what's it say?
Yeah.
It basically says it's a personal preference, but it comes down to regulating.
Who you're sleeping with?
Perhaps. but just, are you a hot sleeper? Do you need more clothes or less clothes? What type of underwear are you wearing? Are they breathable underwear? Overall, even your pajamas, are they cotton? Are they bamboo? Are they lightweight wool? Because that all makes a difference.
Okay, so, if you're cold, wear more. If you're hot, wear less. That's probably a good tip.
I was hoping for like some really like scientific, like, tell me. And it's just, it's up to you. Are you comfortable or not? So anyway, if you're hot, wear less. If you're cold, wear more.
Great.
Yeah. Awesome.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Alex DeBrinket. It's 97.1.
Hey, it's John Jansen here. And I want to tell you about what they've got going on over at GMC, the Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealers. There's great value right now. And I want to bring it to all of our listeners, what they've got going on this month. Maybe you need a new truck in the driveway. Get Motor City's hottest truck, the GMC Sierra 1500 Elevation, for an unbelievable $199 per month. Another thrilling option is the GMC Sierra EV, built to exceed what you thought an electric vehicle could be with over 600 horsepower standard. These deals are happening right now at any of your 20 Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealers. GM estimated horsepower rating must be a current lessee of a 2020 model year or newer Buick or GMC vehicle through GM Financial for at least 30 days prior to the new vehicle sale. Tax, title, license, dealer fees are extra. There's no security deposit required. Mileage charge of 25 cents per mile over 20,000 miles at participating dealers only. Residency restrictions apply. Visit GMCOfferInfo.com for more details.
Beautiful day as we broadcast live today, 17th annual Illich Companies Foundation Celebrity Golf Classic. Celebrity, emphasis on celebrity. We've got Alex DeBrinket joining us this morning. Alex, good morning.
Yeah, morning. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Glad to have you here. How's the summer been?
It's been great. It's been a lot of fun. We were just talking a minute ago, but I'm ready to go. I've had enough fun this summer and ready to get back at it.
And you're just coming from a workout. I got to ask, how's the workout affect your golf game?
This time of summer, my golf game goes downhill for sure. So I don't think it necessarily helps, but I'll try to whack it.
You'll muscle
there.
Through it.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the outlook for the upcoming season? Thoughts on the off season and just how you guys stack up now going into this season?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think we're all excited to get going. I know we brought in a couple of good players, to really help us out. So hopefully all goes to plan and we can start off strong and kind of go from there.
When you get into camp and you're getting to know those new guys, how long does it take to be comfortable with them out on the ice?
Not that long. Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of the bonding we do in Traverse City off the ice really helps that progress and you know, make it a lot easier. So it's nice going up there, get to know the new guys. And as a new player, it's nice to get to know the team. So, you know, I think it's great time up there, and it really makes us closer.
As you can imagine, everybody's looking forward to seeing whether or not you guys can get back in the postseason. And I know last year, in the last couple Marches, you guys haven't been able to get over that hump. Larkin's comments last year about, hey, we didn't get that boost at the deadline. Was that some sentiment that you felt in that locker room as well? What is kind of that missing ingredient?
I mean, I think there's a lot of things that go, like, happen at that time of year. I think we obviously weren't playing well, and, you know, I mean, that's history, and we got to figure out a way. It's kind of the past 2 years we've had a lull in that March, you know, time frame where we're really close, we're in it, and we kind of dip back a little bit. So us as players got to find a way to really power through that and not get such a setback. I think there's going to be setbacks throughout the year, but we got to find a way to minimize them and not let them last. So, you know, for us, we just got to, you know, focus on each game and worry about that.
Do you feel the group is good enough to get over that hump?
Yeah, for sure. I think we're, like I said, we got a couple guys that are coming in that should really help us, and it'll be fun, you know, to start the year, see what everyone's made of, and you know, go from there. I think, you know, you can't really, you know, make the playoffs in the first month, but it will definitely help if you have a good start.
Tom McClellan came in, so you guys got a chance to know him at the end of the season there. How do you think training camp will be different with the personality and the coaching style of Todd versus previous leadership?
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be hard. It'll be, you know, very attention to detail oriented. You know, in Todd's game, details are really big, and just the work ethic. I think, you know, he requires you to go out there and give it your all every shift, and you know, I think that's something that's going to be instilled in us from day one. And yeah, like I said, the details are going to be there, and you know, hopefully it's good for us.
From afar, it looks like he's a guy that you know where you stand with him. He doesn't mince words. He's incredibly honest. What is he like as a coach for you guys? Is that accurate?
Yeah, for sure. That's very accurate. I think, yeah, there's no in-between of where you stand. He's going to tell you. He holds guys accountable, you know, whether you're the best player on the team or you know, one of the lower guys. And I think it's all – everyone is held accountable, and that just makes us better in the long run. I think we can't have guys, you know, slacking off and being on their own page, and he really enforces that. And, you know, I think he was great for us last year, and I'm excited for a full season with him.
Now that you've been back for a couple of years, what's it been like for you to play for your home team?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think it's, I mean, this is thrown out there all the time, but it's a dream come true, I think. Growing up rooting for the Red Wings and, you know, having two seasons under my belt here now and feeling super comfortable here and loving the team, teammates, and the fans here, it's incredible. It's definitely, you know, more than I could have asked for, and it's been a lot of fun.
Do you feel extra pressure having grown up watching the Wings of the previous years and now you're living that dream? Do you feel a little extra pressure that – hey, I'm a hometown guy, and I need to take this team where everybody wants them to be?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I put a lot of pressure on myself anyways, sure. But, yeah, you feel the pressure. I think everyone on the team feels the pressure, whether you're from here or not. I think, you know, we're a good enough team to make the postseason and have, you know, hockey in Detroit be fun again. And, yeah, that's just the goal we're working for, and obviously Stanley Cup's the end goal. So, yeah, we'll try to get back to that spot.
Because growing up, I mean, they're in it every single year for you growing up. I mean, it would be shocking that they wouldn't be in it, and I know you want to be a big part of getting them back in that postseason mix. Growing up, Sergei Fedorov, 91, what does it mean to see his number get raised to the rafters later this season?
Yeah, it's awesome. He was definitely a guy I liked to watch when I was younger, and, you know, the way he could fly around there and make plays like that, definitely pretty cool to see they're going to retire his number, and I'm excited to be there for that night.
I was being made fun of during the commercial break because I was fixing a couple of the American flags.
The most John Jansen thing ever.
I asked you right before we went on, what the most memorable national anthem you've heard as a player is. Do you, now that you've had zero time to think about
yeah,
it,
really. Yeah.
Is there one that stands out to you?
I mean, I think by us being, playing in Chicago, I think that's one of the best ones I've heard.
Yeah.
You know, the electricity in that arena when they start that. And, yeah, I think that was one of the best. I mean, there's a lot. Any time you can, you know, really any of them at a big hockey game is
yeah.
it's pretty cool.
I got hats off to you with the focus, because we've had a number of people come by and say hi while we're live on air. We just had a guy actually try and have a conversation with you while you're answering a question. So well done.
It is well done. John brought up earlier, getting used to playing with guys. You don't need any time to get used to playing with Patrick Kane. I mean, that's one of the things you mentioned, Chicago, that chemistry has been instantaneous. How have you seen his game? Because people will point out, boy, you know, he's older now. How would you assess playing with Patrick Kane and where he's still at?
You know, I think he's still as good as ever. I think the way he, you know, can slow the game down or bring the game to him, he really controls the play and obviously his stick handling abilities and the respect he gets from, you know, the other team, they kind of back off and, you know, he has some time to, you know, make those plays. So for me, it's always just finding some open space and when he gives it to me, shoot the puck. So, yeah, it's been very easy. Obviously, I played with him for a number of years, but, you know, from the start, it's a little bit of a learning curve to play with him, but you know, once you figure it out, it's very easy to do, and you know, he's still, I think, as good as ever.
No matter how many years you've been playing, there's always things I know in the off season that you want to try and work on. What are some of the things you're trying to improve in your game this off season?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. I think, yeah, I mean, I could go down a list, honestly. My skating needs to get better. You know, obviously still working on the shot and different, you know, aspects of, you know, controlling it and getting it off. And, you know, I think there's not one specific thing I really, you know, over-focused on. I think it was all, you know, all around game and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's hard to give a specific answer.
How has your off-season training changed from right after your rookie season to how you approach the offseason now?
Yeah, I mean, similar in some ways and a lot different. I've gone through a couple different styles of workouts and, you know, trying to figure what's best for me, how hard to push in the summer and stuff like that. So, but, you know, this year and last year I took a little bit more time off skating. But previously I would take, you know, 2 weeks maybe and get back on the ice, and this time you know, it took maybe 2 months, so it's but kind of ramped it up quicker too, so
yeah.
It's all just trying to figure out what works best, and you know, you gotta feel your body. Some years you're gonna be able to some years you're gonna
wind
be able
picked
to
up if you couldn't hear it on the mics.
Yeah, some years you're going to be able to skate right away, and then if you're battling through some injuries or whatever, you got to take some time off. So you just got to listen to your body and see how it's not going to be the same every year.
We're talking to Alex DeBrincat this morning on 97.1. What about for the team? Is there an area of emphasis that has been stressed for you guys for the upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's – I don't think you can ever be a good enough defensive team. I think that's a – you know, what coaches are always preaching, and obviously, you know, you look at the top teams, they're able to score and play in those tight games and score in big moments and really handle the pressure well. So, yeah, I think there's emphasis on both sides of the puck and really, you know, it's the attention to detail, and I think that's, you know, something we've lacked at certain points of the season, and we just got to stick with that.
Alex DeBrincat, appreciate some of his time this morning. Red Wing season is right around the corner, and as you're telling us, you're itching to get back out there. So,
for sure.
Good stuff. Thanks, Alex.
Yep, thank you, guys.
It's 97.1.
Value-driven banking begins with First Merchants Bank. When I have questions about my finances, I turn to my bank, and that's First Merchants Bank. I know that their attentive local bankers are 100% interested in listening to my situation and helping me find the answers that I need. First Merchants doesn't provide cookie-cutter solutions or check-off boxes when it comes to financial advice. They take the time to learn about my life and my personal financial goals and work with me to build a plan that fits my situation. That's because First Merchants Bank really cares. They see me as a person, not just as a number, and they're going to do all they can to help their customers and communities succeed. You can count on that since First Merchants Bank is staffed by local bankers who know and are passionate about the needs of the local community because it's their community as well. And we all have to work together to help it continue to prosper. To get started on your personalized financial solution today, you can visit them at firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, member FDIC.